By Judicial Decree 13, Rules of Evidence, written by Commander James Bondage, narrated by Elliot Daniels. Introduction. Welcome, faithful listeners, to the 13th and final story in the By Judicial Decree series. Some of you may have noted that characters in recent books in the series have been wondering if Kane is getting a little long in the tooth to continue the strenuous exercise required by his hobby of slave training, and upon mature consideration, I'm forced to agree. So rather than risk losing him to a stroke or heart attack caused by a session of over-enthusiastic erotic activities with one of his lovely playthings, I am going to retire the old warhorse. Those of my faithful readers who are already familiar with the novels in this series, which I assume is most of you, will note that this story does not follow the usual pattern, but is different in a number of ways which you'll have to discover for yourselves. However, I trust that I've included sufficient quantities of the themes and characters from previous volumes that attracted you to these stories originally. Only time and book sales will tell if I was right. But enough of this stalling. It's high time for me to step aside and introduce you to the charming sociopath and wireless celebrity Betty Carroll and her companion in bondage, the lovely, young, and perplexing Hallie Fairborn. Warmest regards, Commander James Bondage. As always, I'm thrilled to hear your thoughts on this or any of my other books or anything else that you'd like to share with your favorite author. I assume that would be me. Feel free to email me any time of the day or night, including weekends and holidays. Operators are standing by at CommanderJamesBondage@yahoo.com. Preface. It's only by an accident of history that we no longer observe the ancient Roman custom of judicial enslavement for debt or as a penalty for a criminal conviction. But what if history had taken a different path? Modern physics teaches that there are an infinite number of universes, and therefore an infinite number of Earths, some so similar as to be indistinguishable from our own, others so different as to be unrecognizable. Among the infinite number of possibilities, then, there are an infinite number of Earths where history did go a different way than ours. Therefore, there must exist somewhere Earths in which the old Roman laws are followed and slavery is still on the books. This story is set in one of those histories. Chapter 1. Fallen. She was seated astride a wooden horse, a wedge mounted on four legs. It was a most uncomfortable seat, and she would have gladly dismounted if that had been possible. However, for several very good reasons, she could not. For one, there were leather cuffs around her ankles attached by short chains to half-inch metal bolts sunk in the floor. There was sufficient slack in these ankle chains to allow her to go up on her toes, but they permitted no movement beyond that. So she was just barely able to raise herself clear of the base of the 3-inch-long plastic probe attached to the top of the horse that was inserted in her rectum, and she was doing so to the best of her ability. She had a strong incentive for standing en pointe, because, while the probe was only perhaps an inch in diameter, the base was covered with hard plastic carbuncles that soon felt like the spines of a saguaro cactus on her sensitive tissues of her colon. It seemed that her new owner was worried that she might not be uncomfortable enough, so he had put considerable ingenuity into insuring against this possibility. In addition to everything else, her arms were pressed together behind her back in a single glove so tight that it made her elbows touch and forced her shoulders together until her shoulder blades met. This, in turn, made her thrust her chest out dramatically, presenting her, not overly large, but extremely shapely breasts, in a spectacular display. They projected outward as if she was offering them up to the next person to enter the room, which was, not coincidentally, exactly what the person who had designed this bondage had in mind. The single glove alone placed an increasingly painful strain on her arms, shoulders, and back, but once again, her tormentor had not settled for the merely painful when he could shoot for agonizing.